From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, President Lee Jae-myung departs for Ankara, the capital of Turkey, to attend the NATO summit at the invitation of NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte. Samsung Electronics' second quarter operating profit estimate shows its streak of quarterly records continuing at nearly 90 trillion won, or more than 58 billion U.S. dollars amid the AI boom. And legislation aimed at rooting out disinformation online is now in force, sparking debate over freedom of speech. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Daniel Che. President Lee Jae-myung has departed for Ankara, Turkey, to attend the NATO summit. Ahead of his departure on Tuesday, he posted on X that he intends to expand South Korea's role in achieving global peace and security at NATO, continuing efforts from his participation at the Group of Seven summit in France last month. Referring to NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte's recent praise of South Korea's fantastic defense industrial base, he said he was proud of the country's global competitiveness and status as a responsible contributor to international peace and security. During his first NATO meeting, at Rutte's invitation, he is scheduled to participate in an Indo-Pacific Four discussion with the leaders from Japan, Australia, and New Zealand, as well as the NATO chief. The South Korean leader will also give a keynote speech during a session of the NATO Summit Defense Industry Forum, then attend an official welcome dinner hosted by Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and the First Lady. Samsung Electronics' second quarter operating profit estimate shows its streak of quarterly records continuing at nearly 90 trillion won, or more than 58 billion U.S. dollars, amid the AI boom. These preliminary results surpass rival NVIDIA's previous record quarterly figure. Natalie Kwan has more.
Samsung Electronics has announced record earnings for the third consecutive quarter on the back of the ongoing semiconductor supercycle. The company said Tuesday that its estimated operating profit for the second quarter of 2026 is 89.4 trillion won, or 58.4 billion U.S. dollars. That's a 19-fold increase year-on-year. The company's estimated operating profit for the second quarter alone is more than double its operating profit for all of last year, and also exceeds the sum total of the figures for all of 2023, 2024, and 2025. Excluding provisions for employee bonuses, the tech giant's second quarter operating profit is estimated to have topped 106 trillion won. Sales for the April to June period surged 129.3% year-on-year to a record 171 trillion won. Though the company didn't provide a breakdown of its earnings for each business division, observers attribute the exceptional performance to strong global investment in artificial intelligence infrastructure. They say the Device Solutions Unit, which handles the semiconductor business, most likely led the gains. The company's earnings guidance exceeded the market consensus, but its shares closed down almost 7%, as investors took the announcement as a sign of trend exhaustion. Samsung Electronics is scheduled to release its final earnings report, with details on the performance of each business division, at the end of this month. Natalie Kwan, KBS World Radio News.
Amendments to a law on communications networks passed with the aim of rooting out disinformation online are now in force. The revisions to the Act on Promotion of Information and Communications Network Utilization and Information Protection took effect Tuesday, requiring operators of online platforms with at least 1 million daily users to devise procedures and policies on the reporting and handling of false information. The law has sparked fierce debates between the ruling and opposition parties over freedom of speech. Pedrian has more.
Often called the fake news law, the revised legislation holds major online platforms responsible for the harm they cause by intentionally circulating content that's been proven false. Now, those platforms can be ordered to pay punitive damages of up to 5 times the losses they cause others. This is in addition to fines of up to 1 billion won, or some $650,000. Platforms subject to the revised communications network law include Naver, YouTube, Instagram, X, Facebook, and any others with at least 1 million daily users. Personal social media posts or private conversations, such as those on KakaoTalk, are not subject to the tightened regulations. The conservative main opposition People Power Party is up in arms over the law, which it says violates the right to freedom of speech. Arguing that the state should not be the one to determine what is true or false, the main opposition is planning to file a constitutional complaint and pursue the removal of what it calls toxic clauses in the law. The ruling Democratic Party has countered that the latest amendments only serve to prevent the spread of disinformation and hold bad actors accountable. The ruling party says the main opposition is misinterpreting the law by making it out to be a tool of government censorship. Around 140,000 people have signed a parliamentary petition calling for the repeal of the law. While calling for freedom of speech, petitioners have also raised issues with ambiguity in the legislation regarding how to determine what constitutes disinformation. The Journalists Association of Korea has issued a statement warning that while the law contains language excluding reporting in the public interest, a recurring cycle of disputes and expensive lawsuits would inevitably have a chilling effect on the media. Bae Joon, KBS World Radio News.
You are now listening to the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul, Korea.
Hanwha Ocean has lost its bid to supply Canada with modern diesel submarines after German shipbuilder ThyssenKrupp Marine System was announced as the preferred choice. Speaking at a naval base in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Monday, Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney said it was a difficult, close decision as both sides met the capabilities of the Royal Canadian Navy and put forward strong proposals to maximize benefits for Canadian workers and businesses. Carney said that should negotiations with TKMS for a final deal fall through, Canada retains the right to designate Hanwha as the preferred supplier to enter negotiations. Calling both South Korea and Germany critical strategic partners, Carney said he'd spoken with President Lee Jae-myung on the phone over the weekend and discussed various topics, including the submarine project. The Canadian Prime Minister said there are many other areas where the two countries are cooperating and moving forward in their relationship. Major global investment banks' average forecast for South Korea's economic growth this year has reached 3% for the first time. Data released Wednesday by the Korea Center for International Finance showed growth forecasts for South Korea's real gross domestic product in 2026 by eight major investment banks averaged 3% at the end of June, up 0.2 percentage point from a month earlier. The average forecast stood at 2% at the end of last year, rising to 2.1% in January, 2.4% in April, and 2.8% in May. There were also forecasts for growth in the mid to upper 3% range, according to the compiled data. Forecasts for South Korea's growth this year continued to rise in tandem with the country's booming semiconductor industry, with monthly exports having topped the record $102 billion for the first time ever in June. Classified U.S. documents indicating that U.S. authorities regarded Dokdo as part of Korea in the 1940s have been identified for the first time. The Seoul-based Northeast Asian History Foundation said Tuesday that the 222-page collection was identified and compiled by research professor Jeongap Seng of the Institute for East Asian Studies at Seonggonghae University from the U.S. National Archives and Records Administration and was recently donated to the foundation. The document, a report prepared by the U.S. Far East Air Forces on June 24, 1948, said it had been definitely established in September 1947 that the Liangkor Rocks was part of Korea, referring to Dokdo as the Liangkor Rocks. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. This has been Daniel Choi.